What's up, guys? A very special episode is coming your way today. Listen, we're going to be talking to a guest who is a friend of mine here locally in Idaho that I met through basketball. You know, we always talk about how basketball brings people together. We're going to talk more about that today in a different sphere. And, you know, we're going to talk about his career, which didn't necessarily end the way that he wanted it to from his playing days, but we'll hear about the lessons that he learned, the experiences that he had. He went the junior college route. He served a church mission and then still came back and played at the next level for Utah Valley as well as Idaho State. And we're going to learn more about the transitions of each of those things and what he had to do, the people he played with when he was younger, and what they taught him in regards to competing at a very high level. And then we're spending another portion, a very large portion of this interview, talking about Hoop Camp, which is going to be an amazing interview because we're talking about this program that they have put together for athletes with special needs. And that's near and dear to my heart because I worked for a company where I was able to work with adults and kids who had special needs. And I worked with the Special Olympics and was able to be around the athletics world with adults and kids that had special needs. And so we're going to be learning about what they're doing to give back to that community and really help this underserved community of those with special needs. So I really hope you guys enjoy this interview. Like it's an amazing opportunity to learn. And then hopefully by the end of this, you guys will be just as motivated as I am and you'll want to give back and maybe volunteer at one of these events. And we'll give you all the information that you need to know regarding that. So get ready, get your notepads out, get ready for this episode of The Game Time Guru. So
what time is it?
Game time.
This is the Game Time Guru podcast, where I interview sports figures from all over the world to help deliver a panoramic view on sports. So whether you're a former athlete, one of the crazies, or simply a casual sports fan, this is the perfect show for you as we peel back the curtains and learn from our guests every single week. I'm your host, Shane Larson, and I'm helping you see sports through a different lens. What's up, everybody? Welcome out to another episode of the Game Time Guru podcast. Shane Larson here, host of the show. 7 years, 3 months running into this podcast. And I want to give a shout out to everybody who has tuned in. As you guys heard in the introduction, got a very special episode coming to you guys today for a variety of reasons, actually. It's the topic we're discussing. It's the guest that I'm talking to. There's a lot of things that I'm excited for this interview. I just want to make sure I shout out all the sponsors that have helped me out. A shout out to Athlete Narrative. If you guys are looking to, you know, if you're an athlete in high school or college and you're looking to leverage your name, image, and likeness and monetize off of that, you can use Athlete Narrative and their software to help you do that. So just make sure to head to that link that's in my description here. You can get 10% off, which is basically make it $90 a month for their all-in-one, I guess, a la carte service that they provide you. $90 a month if you use my code in the description. Shout out to them for everything that they're doing. But also, just a shout out to all the listeners and the guests and everybody who's been here supporting me for the last 7 years. We have now had this show downloaded in 182 countries, all 50 states. We're building the YouTube platform right now, so please feel free to hit me with a follow. But if you're more of the audio podcast style, welcome aboard. Hit the subscribe button. And I always welcome a 5-star review if you feel that that's in your heart to leave us a review. So appreciate you guys for tuning in. Our guest is a very special guest for me. It's funny because when I was playing ball, one of my friends was playing ball just about a year ago or so. They were playing in Bam Jam, which is a local tournament here in Idaho. And I said, "Hey, Sean, how did it go?" And he goes, "Dude, we got cooked by this one team." And he goes, "I don't know, some dude named Hayes or something that kept calling him Hayes." And I'm like, oh, bro, I know who that is. Like, he had no idea who this guy was. And I was like, I know who that is because I've played with him. He doesn't miss a shot. He cooks everybody on the court. And he doesn't, like, you wouldn't expect it because he's just nice. He smiles the whole time and he does it the whole way through. And that is our guest today is Hayes Garrity. We're going to be talking to him about Hoop Camp and what he's got going over there. And we'll get to know a little bit more about him and his journey. So, Hayes, thanks so much for joining the show, man.
Yes, you are welcome. Thanks for having me. And tell your friend I'm sorry about Bam Jam.
Dude, it's so funny. I knew immediately who he was talking about. I was like, oh yeah, Hayes is nasty, dude. Hayes, let's rewind the clock a little bit if we could for just a second. Get to know you as an athlete and what your involvement is in the athletic world because you did play collegiate basketball. But I just want to kind of get a brief synopsis, if you will, just an understanding of who you are and what, you know, your background is in sports.
Yeah. So I grew up playing a lot of different sports. How far back do you want me to go?
Well, let's go back to your childhood. Let's unbox it. So what, like, how, you know, what was it like? When did you pick up a basketball? Cause we know you're nasty on the court. So like, when did you first pick up a ball and like, what was the history behind it?
Well, you're making me go way back. I don't know, probably when I first picked up the basketball. My dad played professionally, so I think that helped. I probably was born holding basketballs and stuff like that. But growing up, I played every sport. Basketball, football, soccer, baseball, track. I don't know what other sports. I probably played most of them growing up. And it got tough because as I got older, it got to the point where you kind of had to start picking and choosing sports because they were in the same season. And you had to start leaving some out. And that was tough.
So, okay, dad was a professional basketball. Did you have siblings as well? I never asked you this before.
Yeah, I've got three younger sisters. And the oldest one, she high jumped at BYU. My other sister played basketball in college at Westminster there in Salt Lake City, Utah. And my other sister right now is a freshman in college, and she's playing volleyball.
Crying out loud. So it is a house of athletes over there. Okay, yeah. So you got that. So, Hayes, when you were in high school, at what point did you realize that you might be able to compete at the next level and, you know, play beyond high school level?
I don't know. I think I was so dumb and cocky. I always thought I could. But in high school, it started to change because one of the AAU teams I played on at the time had a lot of really good talent on there with now NBA players or former NBA players or NFL players and stuff like that. And at the time, none of us probably knew we were really going to go do all those things. But they were some of the top talents in the state that I was in. And I think a couple of them might have been nationally ranked. I don't know details. I don't remember that far back. And I felt pretty comfortable playing with them, you know. And it didn't feel like, oh, yeah, I can hang with these guys. It felt like, yeah, I can play with them, you know. And I think I fit in. They probably did some things better than I did. But to me, that was a great experience. It was kind of an eye-opening experience that – you know, whether I was or wasn't ready, I wasn't that far away from it. You know what I mean? And I think that helped build up my confidence.
No, that's super cool, man. You can kind of realize that, yeah, you're part of that crew and you're not, yeah, it's a good thing for a lot of athletes when they realize that. I think confidence is a big thing for younger athletes. They just don't realize it. When they get that, when they have that realization of like, I can compete with these guys. I can hang with these dudes, or like in your case, I can play with these dudes. I'm right. I'm one of them. I am one of these dudes. You know, it can change a lot in the way in which you go about things. But, Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say we had, you know, some of the guys, just to name a few, you know, that were NBA guys or, you know, did other great things in life aside from just basketball. But we had Terrence Jones, who was in the NBA for a while. Terrence Ross, who I think just recently retired. He was on that team as well. We had a guy by the name of Garrett Jackson that went to USC, who's now an assistant coach with the Rockets. Same with Mike Moser. He's also an assistant with the Rockets right now under Ime Udoka. But there was a lot of talented guys. I don't want to leave anyone out. We had Kyle Wilcher was kind of part of that crew, who was a Kentucky guy, kind of NBA. He's overseas now, still playing. Mike James, if you know him, I think he's one of the top players over in Europe and has been for some time. I think he was with Brooklyn for a minute, the Brooklyn Nets with KD and Kyrie for a minute when they went on that run before some of those guys got injured in the playoffs. A really talented team. There's a handful of guys too on those teams who didn't make it that because of injuries and stuff, but were probably NFL, NBA guys. They were that talented.
Wow, man. I didn't know that part about your story. This is awesome. So being around those guys, I have a question for you then, Hayes, is like when you're surrounded by that type of talent, a lot of people, even on the club scene, because I coach club basketball and I see a lot of like you get a lot of talented teams, but they don't know how to mesh or some guys are just naturally talented, so they don't work as hard. What did you learn from being around all of that talent in regards to work ethic and camaraderie and so forth?
Well, we had a wide range of you know, talents and abilities on that team. And what helped me learn a lot is we had some guys that were, I mean, they were all extremely athletic, but we had some guys that weren't very athletic or as athletic, and they scored under the rim a lot. And I was never really good at that. So that taught me how to get a lot better at that, where you don't have to be playing 100 miles an hour all the time. And that's always how I tried to play. And so I learned a lot with that. I learned a lot about maturity because we were all freshmen that year. And there were some older guys that would kick our butt every day at practice when we would scrimmage. So I learned a lot from those guys, just maturity and IQ and stuff. And I also learned as well, even though I think I'm a pretty good athlete and I probably was a pretty good athlete, wow, I was a long ways away. Some of those guys were just really athletic, whether through God-given ability or work ethic or whatever it was. And sometimes I looked around and went, dude, I got a long way to go. You know, I'm not there yet. And so it also kind of, I think, made me more hungry. And I was kind of the outsider, at least it felt like at times, not in a bad way, but just I didn't know all those guys. So that was my first time kind of meeting them. And they kind of all knew each other. And so that was an experience of itself, is getting acquainted with new people where they already knew each other and were extremely talented and nobody really knew who I was, you know?
Wow. Yeah. That's stuff that people don't really think about. But like, you have to go through that. You're learning how to, you know, get like in there with them as friends, but also learn how to play together. And you're learning a lot about yourself. Now, after you learned about those things, like, oh man, you got to get better athletically, you got to do all those things, do you feel like that changed the way in which you prepared the next couple of years throughout the rest of your high school and everything, the rest of your playing time there before your college days? Did you feel like you kind of upped your game in the weight room or in the training sessions you did?
Yeah, not so much in the weight room. That was kind of always a staple, just kind of being a football guy. We always had weights and stuff like that. But I think a lot more on my skills, like dribbling and stuff like that. You know, I was always a good shooter. My handle was good enough, but I would never say I had a phenomenal handle back in high school. And I had to start working on it. And I started learning, well, what are these guys doing that's making them so effective with the ball? And why is it, you know, we had a guy by the name of Matt Copson who played at University of Idaho, I think played overseas for a while. He would drive in the middle of everyone and dribble that ball super low, and he'd lose it and get it back. And it's like he never turned it over, but he'd lose the ball and always get it back. Well, I found he could do that because he was so low to the ground. So he was the first guy to the ball every time he lost it. And so just, you know, little things like that you pick up from people that kind of help you. And you see them be successful and you're like, why does this work for them? And every time I try to do it, I lose the ball and I kick it out of bounds or, you know what I mean? Stuff like that.
No, that's the little intricacies of the game, though. And that's super cool that, you know, you pick that stuff up. And I think that just goes to show if you're listening to this podcast right now and you hear, you know, Hayes talking about this, you can, like, iron sharpens iron. So when you're playing with competition like that, you're playing around guys like that, pay attention to those little details, you know, like those are the little things that can give you an advantage. And, you know, that's like the cool stuff. That's not just the regular, oh, they taught me how to shoot well. Oh, they taught me how to run fast. Oh, it's like, no, like learning how to like get low to the ground so you can be the first one to the ball, that gives you an advantage. I think that's super cool.
Well, and what I call it, Shane, is I call it the game within the game, right? Because we've got the game of basketball that we play and we kind of all know how to play it. But if you can learn these little things of the game, you know, beating someone to the ball or being a little bit lower, how to hook a guy without a referee seeing it, you know, kind of how to hold a guy on defense or, you know, kind of stuff like that. That's the game within the game that you kind of play. And if you can get good at that and that little hand fighting and hand checking stuff, it makes you a lot better. And it's a lot more fun when you understand those pieces of the game, you know?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I feel like I'm talking to like LeBron. LeBron has this podcast with JJ Redick now that he just launched, and he's talking about like the insights of the game like this. And I'm like, oh man, you got the little things, dude. That's awesome. The game within the game. I love it.
Yeah.
You know, Hayes, what was the, I guess, where did you accept your first, like, where'd you go to college first? And what was the experience like transitioning from high school to college basketball for you as an athlete?
Well, first off, I'm going to remember that you compared me to LeBron James. So that's
remember that. You heard it here first. I'm just kidding.
but to answer your question, so coming out of high school, I probably had more looks for football than I did basketball.
Okay.
But I liked basketball better. I wanted to play basketball. I wanted to prove I could be a good basketball player. So I actually went to a junior college because I didn't really have many offers at the next level. Well, that's not true. I didn't have many Division I offers, and that's where I wanted to end up. So I had a lot of other schools that were interested. I just, for some reason in my mind, I had that made up. There's nothing wrong with Division II. There's nothing wrong with NAIA. There's a lot of really good players that come out of those types of programs. But being young and not knowing, I kind of had my mind made up, right? So I went to a year of junior college, and I went to Big Bend, which I love Big Bend. It's a tiny town. Well, the town is called Moses Lake, but it's a tiny town in eastern Washington. And I had a blast there. And Big Bend, I think, really catapulted me and helped me in a big way, because I was able to, whatever the, you know, coaches at the next level were looking for, it gave me the ability to prove I could do it. And the reason I say that is because my high school team was a top 20 team in the country, at least for at some point of the year we were. And anyways, we had three teams in Portland that were all top 20, I think. But being on that team, I didn't get to, you know, quote unquote, be the man. I think I averaged like 12 or points a game or something like that. And I think all we had three of our guys on our team all average about 12 a game. And so I don't think I got the opportunity to prove certain skill sets and abilities and decision-making and stuff like that. So when I got to Big Bend, that's really where I got that opportunity, which was a lot of fun for me. And that's really what catapulted me and got me a lot of offers at the next level.
So it sounds like your junior college experience was pretty good. Did you have any, like, whether it was academics or athletics, like, was there a hard transition to go from your high school ball over to a junior college, like at Big Bend? Or was it pretty smooth for you? Cause some people have a hard time with the transition, especially junior colleges, cause it's not like the glamour and all this stuff, but I'm just curious, like, did you have any issues with like the athletics or academics or anything like that when you first got there?
I didn't. No, there wasn't a whole lot of adjustment for me. I mean, guys are a little bit bigger, they're a little bit faster, but so are you when you graduate high school. And I think just because of the talent I had been playing with, it was a pretty easy transition for me. And I was only there for 1 year, and I had a great year. I don't know any of my stats at all, but I did win, or whatever. I think I won the MVP of the conference or whatever you call it. And anyways, it was a great experience for me. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, that's super cool, man. And then you go over, you got offers after that. So Where did you end up at, going to after your junior college experience?
So I actually ended up on a mission first. Back then you had to be 19. So I went on a mission directly after. I was in Kentucky and Indiana, and it was actually a great time to be in Kentucky, because my first year on my mission, Louisville won the national championship. And the next year on my mission, Kentucky won the national championship. So that was a lot of fun. And two of my friends or old teammates, Kyle Wilcher and Terrence Jones, were on that Kentucky team that won the national championship. So that was really cool. So I continued to be recruited for my entire mission, because I didn't make a decision on which college to go to. I ended up going to Utah Valley, though.
Okay, so UVU. Okay, so that's a question. You know, there's a couple things that I need to unbox here. Mm-hmm. Going on a mission, there's a lot of kids that listen to this podcast that might serve church missions if they happen to be a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So for me, when I went on a church mission and came back, I went to Brazil. I was like 172 pounds when I came back. I lost all the weight that I had. I was starving out there. The last thing I could, like, when I remember, Hayes, when I went to the gym for the first time in America, when I got back home, I had lost everything. And it was the most demoralizing thing. I was like, how do these kids come back and play college athletics? I don't understand it. Cause like it took me like 3.5 months to even feel somewhat normal. And I was like, there's no way I could ever compete anymore. Like before that. Yeah. But like after it, I just never got there. And so I'm just curious, like, how did you get back and just get right to work again? Cause I want to make sure that people who are listening to this can take note of what you did.
Well, you know, it's tough when you're on a mission. You know, if someone decides to go, they need to be on their mission, right? And you got to be bought into what you're doing. Otherwise, why are you going on one? I don't know. But for me, I was pretty disciplined when I was on my mission as far as what I ate. You know, on the other side of things, I've heard of missionaries coming back 50 pounds, 100 pounds heavier than when they went out. And I don't think I necessarily have those genes, but I was like dead set on not coming back out of shape, or I mean, you're going to be out of shape, but not too far out of shape, right? And the transition back from that was probably my most difficult transition, because when you get back, if you have been lucky to play basketball on your mission, you get back, it's not the same. And so your timing is off, your rhythm is off, your athleticism is not quite there, your legs aren't quite under you. You probably don't have quite the athleticism you had beforehand, maybe, depending on who you are. So it just takes a little bit of patience and dedication you know, of getting back in there and just dealing with being super sore for a few days while you're working your way back in and trying to get in shape. But then it changes once practice starts, because that's a different type of shape that you need to be in, as opposed to just playing open gyms and a few workouts a week. So that was probably one of the more difficult transitions, because when I first got back, I knew where I could be or where I wanted to be. And it was frustrating at first not being there yet. And sometimes that sucks when you show up to school, fresh off your mission, ready to play with guys on the team, and your first showing's not very good.
Yeah.
You know, because you want, there's kind of a pecking order, right? And every team you're ever on, there's always kind of a pecking order of, hey, who's the top dog here? And it kind of sucks when you first get back and play and you're not the top dog, maybe right off the bat. So mentally, that can be a tough transition, I think, too, or a frustrating transition to kind of go through.
But totally. But you did it, and you got there, and you were at UVU. And if you wouldn't mind just kind of maybe sharing some experiences, or just maybe your favorite memory during your college, like the Division I days, whether it be at UVU or elsewhere, and just like kind of what you learned throughout the collegiate basketball experience. Because did you suffer a knee injury, or am I like forgetting a detail there?
No, you're right, man. I don't like talking about it. This is not a poor me thing, but I did. I ended my college career my last 4 years with surgeries. So I didn't play the last 4 years of my college career. So I played a year at Big Bend, played 1 year at Utah Valley as a sophomore, blew out my knee, came back, blew out my knee, transferred schools, blew out my knee, came back, blew out my knee, and I was done. So that was kind of how my career ended there. So I still feel like I have unfinished business. I still feel like a little bit of anger about that, a little, I don't know, resentment. I don't know what you call it. But, that's still kind of a sore subject for me to deal with, I guess.
All right. So we won't touch base more on that.
I mean, you can. I'm kind of being half joking. But
No, I know. I gotcha. So, yeah, that's kind of a it's the injury piece. The reason I even brought that, I didn't realize it was all 4 years. I remember you telling me it was, it ended that way. I didn't realize it was all 4 years, which is insane and terrible luck. But I am curious though, just like from an injury standpoint, because we have a lot of athletes that I've talked to on here. Yeah. I have a lot of young athletes that, you know, when you go through an injury, it's a mental and physical grind to get back. And even me, man, like, see, Hayes, you never knew me before my shoulder surgery. See, like I met you probably in my 30s, but I mean, I'm a shell of what I was. And that's literally what I felt like. I was still competing really well. And I was playing in top leagues, city leagues, at least, and having at least staying competitive and in great shape and all this stuff. And I could still dunk a basketball and I was athletic. And then I blew my shoulder out and I had shoulder surgery. And that just, for some reason, just derailed me. I play a completely different style of game. I'm slow now. There's nothing about me now that was like what I was back then. But I just remember going through my shoulder surgery and I thought to myself, I'm like, dude, if this was a knee, like mine was a 6 month recovery time before I could do physical activity and like play basketball again. But it changed everything for me, Hayes. Like even when I was quote unquote ready to go and I got the green light to go, the first time I played basketball again, I was scared to I used to get physical with dudes and go up in the paint. And I was scared to do that because I didn't know if someone was going to swat down at the ball and try to dig. And when I go up and they dig and my shoulder gets kind of yanked because I didn't want it to tear again, which it ended up doing 2 years later after that. And so I was just a different player. And so mentally it was a grind. So I'm just curious, you know, obviously your experience wasn't a positive one with the injuries, but like coming back from an injury, do you have any advice for athletes that are going through that, especially young athletes that might not have experienced it before? Like, man, like, is this ever going to end? Like, am I ever going to be able to get back on the court? That kind of thing.
Yeah, it's tough because I believe time can heal all wounds. And in the sports world, that's something you don't have a lot of. You know, you look at when I'm in college or even high school, your clock is ticking, right? You know, and you only got 4 years in high school. You're lucky to get 6 years in college, which is what I was able to get. But 4 of those years, I was just rehabbing and trying to get healthy. And so it is a little bit tricky on how do you handle that? And I think mentally, we all deal with things differently. I think mentally, I dealt with it well, but I will say it did make me probably more irritable as far as on the court. I used to be a little bit meaner. I know you said in the Bam Jam, I was doing it all with a smile on my face, which is true. But I was a little bit more ornery, and I think part of that was frustration from dealing with the injury. And so you've got to learn to not take it out on other people, which I was probably guilty of at times. And we've all got our own path. And if you're interested in good knee health or good joint health, I would strongly recommend Knees Over Toes. If you don't know who he is, look him up on Instagram. I don't know him personally, but I've seen his stuff and it just makes sense. And I do Knees Over Toes now. And you know, you've seen me play now. You can't really tell I've had knee surgeries. Uh-uh. You know, maybe if you saw me play before, you might be able to tell. But the main difference is I don't try to dunk as much anymore. I don't care as much about dunking. It's not as cool. Because that seems to be when I get hurt the most, is when I'm trying to do that.
No, dude, that's crazy. I will tell everyone right now, if you have never, which most of you probably have not, ever played against Hayes, if you're listening to this, wherever you're at in the world, but man, I would never have known. I seriously, until you told me that, I would never have known. Because, dude, I don't even know how to guard you. Pull-up jumpers, it's money every time. Spot-up jumpers, if you're just on wide open, it's a money shot every time. Pump fake, you dribble, you're too fast with the dribble. Boom, first step, bang. You're cut so quick, you stop on a dime. I don't know what to do. I'm too slow to guard you anyway. But, like, there's nothing that we can do to stop your game. And that's why I would never have known. So that's what's cool to me is, like, even now, Hayes, like, after having gone through that later in your life, you're still hooping, you're having a good time, you compete, mm-hmm. compete and you stay in shape and you're able to do that. And the Knees Over Toes progression guy, man, I want to get him on the show, but I've talked to other people who've said the same exact thing about his theories and whatnot, and knee hardening and
yep.
just like walking backwards at the sled and walking backwards on a treadmill and getting the whole knee hardening part of, into your regime, because yeah, it's huge. So shout out to him. Maybe he'll see this now.
I hope so.
Hayes, I got a question for you now. The big yep. part of this interview is to kind of like, we wanted to know who you were. So obviously now we know yep. you're a basketball player. You're a hooper, dude. Yep. You're the house that you came from is a house of athletes. Obviously the yep. sisters are all athletic as well. Dad's a hooper, like everyone's athletes. But now we want to know about Hoop Camp. And the reason I wanted to bring you on here is because I already knew who you were. But when I saw one of your social media posts, it struck me, because for 2 years, I worked at a company called Life Incorporated. Yep. They get a little free publicity here, a little advertising. But Life Incorporated was called Living Independently Forever. And yep. I was a developmental therapy technician. So we worked with adults and kids who had special needs. And it was one of the coolest things. Before my mission, I worked there for a year. And then after my mission, I worked there for a year. And it was one of my favorite things in the world. And through that experience, I had the chance to coach Special Olympics basketball for 2 seasons. And that was also one of my favorite things. And so when I saw one of your social media posts regarding, you know, Down syndrome and the three types and so forth, and you were educating, I was like, oh my gosh. I looked up what, you know, you were doing with Hoop Camp. And I was like, this I want to know about. So mm-hmm. that's why it's near and dear to my heart. So I want to ask you a little bit about Hoop Camp, what it's about. And let's break this down, because it's the important piece of the interview, man.
Yeah. So Hoop Camp actually started, it's as old as I am. My dad's the one who founded it. So Hoop Camp started because my dad obviously was very blessed. He's a little bit taller than me. He's about 6'7".
Wow.
Good athlete his whole life, healthy body, healthy mind. And, you know, played overseas, had a great career over there. He was with the Portland Trailblazers, I think, on their summer league team before he got cut, I think, back, I don't know when it was, but, you know, sometime in the 90s, right? And he said he always felt guilty that he was born that way and somebody else was born the way they were, whatever that is, right? And in a way, a lot of that is just a luck of the draw. It's a roll of the dice, and this is the body he got, and this is the body someone else got, or the mind he got and the mind someone else got. And he noticed back then that it was a vastly underserved population, the special needs community. And there was even at that time a little bit of like, I don't know if I should be around them. I don't know if this is contagious. I don't want my kids to get autism or, you know, whatever, which is not how that works. And so his whole vision with this was to be inclusive, to serve a community that's underserved, and where much is given, much is required. And because he's been given much, he feels he needs to give.
Wow. So your dad founded that. What a cool backstory to that. So yep. I guess, were you still in the house when he founded this? Was this during your youth and stuff?
Oh yeah. I think he founded this when I was 1 year old. So the camp is about as old as I am. I think I can't remember where he did the first one, if it was when he was playing in Norway or if it was when we moved back to Portland, I don't know. But that was the first one he did. And we've been doing it every year since. And we started off just in Portland, Oregon, actually, where we were doing it every year. And we in Portland, we actually do a 3-day camp from like 9 to 1 or something like that. And we do it every year. And every year, everyone knows it's coming. Well, when I was at Idaho State, I asked my dad, I said, hey, what about if we did one here in Pocatello? I said, I think we could do that. That'd be good. So anyway, so we did it. And since that time, my dad decided we're going to start doing this all over the country. And we started doing it. We started partnering with college programs. And, you know, we just did one with Eric Spoelstra, the coach of the Miami Heat. We've done University of Miami. We've done one in New York. We do them in Mexico. And we're going to continue doing them everywhere we can. We'll probably try to do one here with Boise State this year would be the plan.
Wow.
But yeah, we do them all over. Oregon State, University of Utah, Utah Valley, BYU. We're working a football one with University of Oregon right now. Grand Canyon University, who just shout out to them in the NCAA tournament. But anyways, yeah. So sorry, I'm rambling now.
No, this is perfect. This is what I want to know. So, okay. So you're running camps everywhere. You're partnering with these programs. You talked to Eric Spoelstra, working over there, University of Miami. Oh my gosh, dude. So you're all over the place. Mexico, you referenced, like, this is insane. Okay. So the camp is a 3-day camp, but what is involved there? That's what you said. You'll run the camps, but like what's involved during this time and what are the athletes getting out of this?
Well, you know, probably each one probably gets something different out of it, but the idea is that they have a day that's, you know, dedicated to them, right? I can't tell you how many people I've had rebound for me in my life or play me one-on-one or, you know, make sure that I'm getting reps to be successful. That's what we're doing for them. You know, they need to work out. They need to be able to have fun. They need hand-eye coordination. They need exercise. They need all the same things we need, they need as well. And it's a lot harder for them to access those things. Other things they get out of it is friendships. Depending on where we're at, they get to meet some cool celebrities like an Eric Spoelstra or like some of the players on some of these college teams we go partner with. They get a fun day. We give away trophies, prizes. We have a game event that we do, which is unique from the other stuff we do. The game event, our athletes will get introduced in the starting lineup with the college team who's playing the game that day. So our last one we did was with Idaho State University. So they get introduced in the starting lineup at all the timeouts. We do a contest with our athletes, a free throw contest, layup contest, you know, stuff like that. And at halftime, we play a 5-on-5 game. And so it's been really cool because the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 that we've done, our athletes have actually hit a buzzer beater in the halftime game. So that's been a lot of fun.
Man, this is so cool. Is there age requirements or any kind of like, so for example, I know from my experience, which is limited, it's only been 2 years of experience that I had, but you know, there's different disabilities, if you want to call it that, different special needs. And there's severity to different types, you know, depending on what they are and what they're dealing with. And I'm just curious, like, is there any kind of, I guess, do they have to meet certain requirements to be able to be participate?
No, and that's a really good question. Our format has been unified, and that's something as well. We've kind of pioneered, I should say my dad, not necessarily me because I was a baby, but my dad kind of pioneered the concept of unified sports, meaning at our camps, we've got kids up to 12 years old that participate who don't have special needs or disabilities, and they help facilitate and pass the ball around. And then we've got athletes from ages 6 all the way up. The reason 6 is because it's kind of hard to get the ball up to the hoop if they're any younger, and it becomes kind of more babysitting at that point. But ages 6 and up, I think our oldest camper has been 75 years old. We've had people who are blind that have paralysis or partial paralysis, autism, Down syndrome, fetal alcohol syndrome, cerebral palsy. I'm sure I'm leaving lots more out. But we serve a very wide range of athletes, and we adapt everything to their ability and how they can be successful. So sometimes we have people in wheelchairs that can't quite get it up to the basket. Well, we'll make an arm hoop for them. Or, you know, so it's just about getting creative to give them an opportunity to experience success the way that they can.
Man, this is so cool. All right. So is it just you and your dad running these things? What if there's do you have people in each city that are helping you run the camps, or do you have to go to each one of those every day?
I wish I could. I don't have the time. So one of the unique things about us is we're all volunteers.
Okay.
So my dad, myself, anybody else who's involved with us, none of us are paid to do this. We just donate our time to go do these things. But we've got a team of people. We've got a board of directors. Two of them live in Utah. My dad and another live in Portland. And then I'm obviously in Boise. And then we've got another one over in Pocatello that's on our board of directors. And we kind of tag team stuff and go to the ones we can go to. And then in all of the local cities, we have parents or volunteers who are just passionate about this, that love helping, and they get involved and help get the word out and show up and bring more volunteers and stuff like that. So it kind of becomes a team event, because truly, I don't think it's something that we could do on our own without support of, you know, local communities and those who are involved in the special needs community, kind of like you were with Life. We need people like you to you know, get on board and join us and help us.
So if there is somebody there that's like hearing this and they're like, hey, I want to help out, if they come to my city or they're nearby, even if they don't have a child with special needs or anything, but maybe they just want to volunteer and help, how do they get a hold of you guys, Hayes?
Great way to get a hold of us. You can go on our website. It's www.hoop.camp, no.com, just .camp. Our contact information is on there. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook. I don't know what else. I'm on TikTok. I don't know. But pretty much all the social media platforms, you can find us there. We're available email, phone call, text message, any way you want.
So you guys have all the things, which is smart, right? You got all the stuff. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put the description here, like put the link here in the description of the podcast. So if you're listening to this and you're like me and you want to help out in any way, shape, or form, you guys can contact Hayes and his team and see if you guys can be part of it as well. Okay. You mentioned all this stuff. I'm curious from your perspective, Hayes, being around this pretty much your whole life, you've been around it since your dad had found it when you were younger and, you know, you've been around it. What would you say is the biggest lesson that you've learned from being around adults and kids with special needs? I'm curious to see what you say on that one, because I have a plethora of things that I could say too. I think it's such a cool opportunity and I just want to know what you've learned.
I've learned a lot of things. I'm trying to think of something particular that would be best. Can I give you a couple? Would that be all right?
Yeah, sure, man. Let's hear it.
So one of the things I've learned from those with special needs is to have a good attitude. And I know that can be used a lot, but a lot of those athletes probably couldn't have more going against them in many ways, right? I mean, sure, there's probably a lot of good things too, but they have every reason to complain. They have every reason to be angry. We talk about injuries, right? And go back to me. And I know I don't like, you know, opening that old wound, but I've got nothing to complain about. And I think that's a good reminder of being involved in something like this and volunteering your time and helping others. Quit complaining. Do you know what I mean? There's so many people in life that would kill to have what I have. And we need to be grateful in our circumstance, regardless of our circumstance. And that's a challenge on its own, is learning to be grateful when you don't feel very grateful. And we can all think of times in our lives where we were feeling pretty down or we were at our rock bottom or whatever it is. There's still a lot to be grateful for. So that's one of the things I've learned from Hoop Camp and being around these athletes, is to have a positive attitude and you know, maybe not take life so serious all the time. I'd say probably another thing I've learned from working with this community is that it is vastly underserved. And these are people who need help and they deserve help and service. And what they really need above all else is a friend. And we see a lot of people, and I love these videos just like everybody does, but we see a lot of people where, you know, someone wins homecoming king or they hit some game-winning shot in a high school game and everyone celebrates them. They need a friend to be around every day or every week. And too many of us sometimes, I think, want to be a cheerleader on the sideline. And although that's good and lovely, it's not what they need. They need a friend. So I would say those are two of the things I've learned.
That is so good to hear, man. And that's deep. I love that. And it's important for us to remember, you know, this is a real conversation. I'll be real with you. I think people, you kind of alluded to it earlier, like, I still think there's a mentality that some people who are just not familiar or haven't been, they're not comfortable with being around those that may have special needs. They almost think of it as, you mentioned, like, people used to think it was contagious and stuff like that, but people like just get uncomfortable with it. I don't know why. Well, I do know why. Cause when I was 18, it was a little different for me, but then I was like, they literally were like my friends, man. They were like the coolest individuals I've ever met. Still to this day, like, some of them, I know one of them, and he goes to the same church I go to down the street. He'll come to church and I'll see him in the foyer and I'm like, hey, like, and he remembers me from 10 years ago. That's what he wanted, was a friend. It's exactly what you said. Like, they're normal people. And I think, I know that sounds crazy to even have to say out loud. Some people might actually feel differently of that because they don't realize it, but these are normal people. And like you said, we can't neglect it. And I want to ask you a real question though, Hayes, as well. Like, from being in this, is there anything like that you've noticed from, you know, the outside world looking in that you would like to address? Anything that there might be some misunderstandings or, you know, things that people just don't know yet? I could call it a little bit of ignorance. They just might not know yet. They might not have been taught this. And so you might notice it from the outside world looking in that you could share with us.
More about like the special needs community?
Yes.
I think... like, meaning what, sorry, let me clarify. So, meaning what I've seen other people's attitudes towards it are, is that kind of what you're
thinking? Yeah, sorry. You understood it correctly. I said it wrong, probably.
No, so. That's okay. I just want to make sure I understood before I gave some wrong answer. And you're like, dude, I don't know if Hayes knows what he's talking about. here's what I would say is, and my dad says this a lot, and I would agree with it. We have a lot of what we call someday friends. What I mean by that is, oh yeah, yeah, one of these days, dude, I'm gonna come help you. Oh yeah, hey, one of these days we're gonna come. Oh yeah, hey, one of these days, and they're someday friends. And we tease those types of people a lot. I'm like, dude, just come to the event, and I'll probably post a video here this next week about this on my channels or my pages or whatever you want to call it. 90% of people want to volunteer, but only 25% actually end up doing something about it. And so I guess to answer your question is take action, jump in. Yeah, it's uncomfortable. Yeah, it's new. Anytime you do something for the first time, it's going to be uncomfortable and new, and you're not going to know what to expect. And you might end up doing it by yourself without a friend or, you know, whatever. Go do it, man. These guys, they need our help. They need a friend. And I hope that answers your question, I guess. That's my answer. If it doesn't answer your question, that's my answer anyways.
No, that's perfect, man. Don't stress that. I love that. That is so good to know. Someday friends. Mm-hmm. That is so true. All of us, I'm sure, are guilty of it at some point. But like, yep. I'm going to encourage everyone listening, same as me, if you have an opportunity, go check out Hoop Camp and see if there's an opportunity in your local area. And I'm not saying just your specific city, but if you're within, you know, a little space and you're looking for an opportunity to feel better about yourself, I can attest to the fact that like, if you can go and be around human beings that have special needs and do something like this, oh my gosh, I've never done it with this group before, but I can just tell you, you'll feel better about it. It'll make you a better person. I'm going to encourage you to do that. And I want to be part of it too. This is what it's like. I'll talk to you outside of this podcast too and see if there's anything I can do to help, but you're right. The people just, they want to volunteer. Everyone talks about it and then no one actually does it. Yeah. I'm so excited that you do this. You know, Hayes, when I was coaching Special Olympics basketball, one of the things that I took from that was, it wasn't about the game. It was, these kids were so excited. Like, they weren't just kids. They were like everyone, but they were so excited of all ages. They were so happy. Like, they were competing. And they were smiling the entire time. And I just remember, like, they didn't care, like, if the shot went in. Some did. But, like, they're out there just having a good time and playing. And that's where I've always said sports bring people together. And that's what I truly believe you guys are doing here. Like, you're bringing people together, man. And you're what a mission that I believe God wanted. And you guys have like fulfilled on that purpose. I think it's so cool. So, well,
and to your point, to your point, you say sports brings us together. We do camps in Mexico. I don't know very much Spanish. We have one of the members of our board is fluent in Spanish, and he's amazing down there. And he's awesome. Everybody there loves him. He's perfect person we could have to help there. And we're glad to have him as part of our team. But I don't speak Spanish very well. But I fly however many miles it is from Boise down to Mexico. And people come because of a stupid ball.
Yeah.
To throw it in a hoop and to pass it around. And I can connect with people, even though we can't speak the same language, because of basketball and because of sports, I should say. And you're right. Sports has the ability to bring people together, whether you have things in common or not, whether you're the same height, whether you're short, you know, regardless of our circumstances, sports has the ability to bring people together.
Man, I love it. I love it, brother. If you guys ever go down to Brazil, you know, just let me know if you need someone to translate. I'm just kidding.
We've been working on one in South America, but it's not Brazil. I'd be all about Brazil, but
okay. No.
If you can help us get there, let's go down to Brazil, man. I'll go.
Hey, let's. You know what though? Don't give me a test here, because I'll take it to the bank.
No, We're ready to go. We've already booked our tickets, man. We're just waiting on you.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay, see, that's what my bad. I'll get there. Hayes, as I wrap this up, I just want to ask, you know, like, first, I just want to remind everybody, check out the website, www.hoop.camp. Go check the social media pages. All of this is in the description of the podcast. If you guys have questions for Hayes and maybe you're scared to reach out to him, hit me up. I'll reach out to him. But I would highly encourage you guys to just connect with him through those channels that he said before. But as we wrap up, my question now for you is, between what you do here in athletics for Hoop Camp and what you've done as an athlete yourself, competing in football and basketball, and you know the injuries you sustained, but the lessons you've learned throughout, what is the biggest life lesson that sports have taught you in this process at this particular point in your life?
The biggest lesson that sports has taught me. I'd probably say I could go a couple of different ways with that, but I think the route I'm going to go with it is probably discipline, because motivation comes and goes, you know. Discipline, the key to being good at anything is to do it when you don't want to do it. And Mike Tyson, I quote Mike Tyson all the time. And one of his quotes about discipline is, doing the things I hate to do, but doing it like I love it. And I think sports teaches you that, because I don't like running suicides. I don't like running sprints. I don't like always lifting weights really either. But you do it, even though you don't like to do it, you do it because you know it's going to make you better. And I think that has helped me in more areas of my life outside of sports. Is if I want to be as successful in business or successful as a husband or a dad or a friend or, I don't know, whatever other title you can think of for yourself, discipline has to be there, or it's going to be really hard to be successful. And you're going to have these roller coaster marriages, or these roller coaster relationship with your kids, or roller coaster relationship in your business, or success in your business, or whatever. And discipline carries you through the times when you don't want to do it. And I think sports taught me that. I think that's what I learned.
I love it, dude. I love it. That's the stuff I just want people to just take note right there. Rewind and listen to them again. If you know, the reason I started the show 7 years ago, it's funny because my sister grew up, she loves supporting me, but she hates sports. She hated athletics, and she was like many people that I knew, Hayes, and they were like, oh, they're just a bunch of dumb jocks. And I'm like, no, dude, I've learned a lot. Like, there's a lot that I've learned. Discipline's one of them. Consistency, effort, doing things when people aren't watching, you know, like doing the things in the off season when your coach isn't watching you. All those little things have translated into my life. Like when it came to work and like all the things you literally just said, that's the reason I did this show. Cause I wanted to highlight sports figures like yourself and let them share their story so that people could see that we're not just a bunch of dumb jocks. There's a lot of things that sports can teach you in a good way. That was gold. and I appreciate it. Oh my gosh, that was awesome. So with that being said, everyone, I just want to say, you know, thank you, Hayes, for joining us, man, and sharing the story of your career as well as what we're doing with Hoop Camp. And for everyone who's listening, I hope you guys enjoyed this. I'm going to encourage you guys to share this episode with whomever can benefit from it. All it takes is one share. All it takes is one like and one comment. Share it with somebody that you know that could benefit from this. And if you want to volunteer, jump on board. Let's go. I'm going to encourage everybody to do that. And like always, hit the subscribe button, follow us, because we'll be coming to you next week with another interview. Take care.